Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Mem Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 19 lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Dalid. If you prefer, you can estimate it's a little bit more than halfway down the page, the last word on the line, Omar. We continue with the topic of Mitzvahs Arova, and we'll be speaking about Mitzvahs Arova as it was practiced in the Beis Hamikdash. For more information, of course, it's incumbent upon everyone to have heard the previous shiur as a lead-in to what we're discussing now. Omar Reish Lakish, Kohanim Bali Mumin Nichnosin Bein Ha'ulam V'Lamizbeach Kidei Lotzeis Ba'arova. According to Reish Lakish, Kohanim, who were blemished, would go in the area of the Beis HaMikdash courtyard between the Ulam is the antechamber opening into the Heichal, the enclosed portion of the Beis HaMikdash, so they would be in the open air courtyard between the Ulam and the altar, which also stood in the courtyard, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Arova. Now, what is Reish Lakish's idea of how the mitzvah of Arova is to be done? So let's take a look at Rashi, about a third of the way down from the top. Koyanim bali mumin af heim, even they, the blemished koyanim, doichakim v'nichnosim, will push their way in, so to speak, and enter lahakif b'raglehem v'arova b'yodam, to march around the mizbeach while holding the Arova. It's impossible to accomplish this circumlocution without entering the area between the Ulam and Mizbeach. V'chol hashana asurim likoneh sham, k'arminu maseches kelim, b'perek rishon, the first perek of kelim, where the Mishnayos in maseches kelim describe different levels of kedusha, it's pointed out that during the rest of the year, a Kohen Baal Mum is not to enter that area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. The Gemara continues, Omar Lei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan addresses Reish Lakish, and he says, Mi Omra, literally, who said that? Now Rashi explains, he focuses the question in order for us then to appreciate the continuation of the Gemara. So Rashi says, Mi Omra, Hashta Salka Daitoch, right now the thinking is, Dehochi Ko'omar, that Rabbi Yochanan's question is as follows, Mi Omra Shihi Choyva, the Ko'omar Lotzeis Bo Yedei Chova, who says that the mitzvah of Arova is some type of obligation, and the expression that Reish Lakish used, Kidei Lotzeis, means in order to fulfill the obligation. So Rabbi Yochanan's question appears to be, who says that Arova is some type of obligation? So now the Gemara reacts to the question with a question. What kind of question is that? Mi Omra, ha ihu Omar. What do you mean, who said that the Arova is an obligation? Rabbi Yochanan himself said thusly, Di Omra Vasi, Omra Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Nechunya Ish Bikas Beis Chorson. Rabbi Yochanan has been quoted as saying, in the name of Rabbi Nechunya, Eser Netios Arova V'Nisu Chamayim Halocha L'Moshe Misina. There are three points here, but we only need to focus on that which is dashed, underlined, the Arova. The Arova and two other points are obligatory based on an oral tradition, halacha l'moshe Sinai. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say here, how could he react to Reish Lakish as saying, who says that it's a mitzvah? He himself, Rabbi Yochanan himself, is on record as saying Arava is halacha l'moshe Sinai. So what was Rabbi Yochanan asking when he reacted to Reish Lakish? So the Gemara explains, Ella, there are two points, and we double underline the mi to highlight that. Mi omra benetila, who says that the mitzvah of arava is netila? Netila involves taking the arava and marching around with it. And if that is in fact the mitzvah, so then all the kohanim would be expected to do that. However, dilma b'zekifa, maybe the mitzvah of arava is not a kohen focused insofar as all the kohanim are expected to do it, but rather the mitzvah is more mizbeach focused, and that one kohen, b'zekifa means standing the arava branches around the perimeter of the mizbeach. So Rabbi Yochanan is asking, maybe that's the mitzvah, and one kohen would be sufficient to doing that. Bringing into question Reish Lakish, who said that all the kohanim, even the blemished kohanim, participate in the mitzvah. But if the mitzvah is bizikifa, standing up, maybe the term zokeif kfufim is familiar to many of you from the Birchas HaShachar. So maybe it's zokeif is to stand up the arava around the mizbeach. Another question Rabbi Yochanan raised, mi omra bebalei mumin, dilma betmimim, who says that the blemished kohanim are to be involved in the first place? Maybe only the tmimim, the unblemished kohanim. Itmar, we continue with another machlokis as to what the origin of the mitzvah of arava is. And on the side, we have on the under our nosar topic heading, Hamokor leMitzvahs Arava. What is the basis of Mitzvahs Arava? It's pointed out, we might see this later in the Rashi and in the course of the Gemara as well, that there is a need for a source for the mitzvah arava in the Beis HaMikdash, and there's mitzvah arava as we practice it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Many of you are familiar with the taking of the arava on what we call Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkot. That is the practice of arava outside the Beis HaMikdash. The reason for mentioning this is in light of the fact that in the past we have seen Abba Shol, for example, say Arve Nachal, darshaning a posuk in the Torah as one referring to the Arava of the Lulav and the other the Arava of the Beis HaMikdash. We just saw a reference here to Rabbi Yochanan and his quote of Arava being Halacha L'moshe Misinai. So in this discussion, we'll be referring to Arava also, and in asking what is the basis of it, so we see here two opinions, and when we say basis of it, bear in mind, we have the topic of the Arava of the Beis HaMikdash, and we also have the topic of Arava as is practiced outside the Beis HaMikdash. So we continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shur ben Levi, Chalama Arava Yesoid Neviim Hu. Or Yesod Neviim. V'chalam Arava Minhag Neviim. Let's look at Rashi. In the middle of the Rashi page of commentary, he says, Yesod Neviim Hu, Takonas Neviim Achreinim. It was established by the end of the prophet period, the last prophets, Chagai Zechar Ma'achi by name, Shemim Sakne, Takonas Yisrael Banshik Nesavido. They were amongst those that established rulings as part of the men of the great assembly, known as the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. There's another opinion we saw in the Gemara. We didn't have the names attached to the opinions. The Gemara featured the names in pronoun form. So the other opinion was Minhag Rashi says Hinhigu Esa'am Velo Tiknu Lahem. They conducted the people as a matter of custom, but not as a formal ruling. The nafka mina, the difference between saying something is a minhag versus something is a takona, the lobaya brocha. Something that is considered a minhag is not does not require a brocha recited before it. And the reason for that is the lekol amemar vitzivanu. The expression vitzivanu, which means and we were commanded, is not applicable if you're dealing with something that happened in the course of time as a minhag, as a practice. Dafilu b'chlau lo sosu leso. It's not even in the realm of the prohibition of veering away from rabbinic teaching. It is simply a matter of practice. That's if you deem it minhag nevi'im. However, if you say yesoid nevi'im, a formal takona, something established as legally binding, then we would recite a bracha vitzivonu. We would say asher kitshonu b'mitzvaysov vitzivonu. So up till now we saw two names, Rabbi Yochanan and Rishum and Levi, one saying one way and one saying the other, but we don't know who says what. Here the Gemara says Tistayim to Rabbi Yochanan hu di Omar Yesoid Nevi'im. Let us conclude that it is Rabbi Yochanan who is behind the Yesoid Nevi'im approach. The Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Arova Yesoid Nevi'im hu. Tistayim. So here you have clearly a statement, a quote of Rabbi Yochanan that maintains that the Arava is Yesoid Nevi'im. Tistayim. So this is conclusive. Question. Omar le Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi of the question lasts a number of lines, as you can see. Rabbi Zera asks, he asks Rabbi Avo, Mi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really claim that the Arava is Yesoid Nevi'im? Well, we just mentioned this before. Here you see it again. That Rabbi Yochanan stands behind the approach that Arava is an oral tradition dating back to the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. That makes it probably more authoritative and certainly much older than claiming it's Yesod Nevi'im. As Rashi had explained before, Yesod Nevi'im dates back to the end of the prophet period, which is parallel to the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash time frame. So the Rabbi Zera asks Rabbi Avo, how can you say that Rabbi Yochanan holds it's Yesod Nevi'im when Rabbi Yochanan is on record as saying it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? Ishtoimeim Kishochado. Rabbi Avo remained silent momentarily. V'omar. And then he responded. The triangles that you see here are basically two stages in responding to this question. V'omar. So Rabbi Avo, then he regained his composure, and he says, Shachachum v'chazer v'yostu. Shachachum means in the Babylonian exile, which preceded the Nevi'im Achronim, which preceded what we called here the Yesod Nevi'im, during the Babylonian exile, a lot of Torah learning was forgotten. V'chazer v'yostu, the Nevi'im Achronim, the reference we made before to Chagai Zechar Malachi, they re-established. They re-established that which existed originally, and they did so, Rashi says, al piha dibor, through, prophetic inspiration. The Gemara asks, Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, would Rabbi Yochanan have said thusly, that there was a forgetting of the Torah in Bovel, and you needed the later prophets to recount that which was forgotten? For Omar Rabbi Yochanan, in this is a quote that's very much out of context, but Rabbi Yochanan held the exile, the community of Jews in Bovel, in the highest regard. Mind you, Rabbi Yochanan is referring to the Jews in the Babylon exile many, many years after the original exile took place at the beginning preceding the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan here makes a comment showing his utmost respect for the Torah learning of the Babylonian Jewish community many, many years after they were already in exile. You can estimate, certainly in the order of magnitude, of between 500 and 600 years of Babylonian exile, and they still had full command of their Torah learning. And that is encapsulated in this very short comment. Rabbi Yochanan says, Dilchon Amri, Dilchon Hi. Rabbi Yochanan addresses his students in Eretz Yisrael, and he says, you thought the Torah is yours? The Torah is really theirs. And he was saying so in light of an incident where Rav Kahana, a great sage from Bavel, had escaped Bavel and come to Eretz Yisrael to learn in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan was deeply impressed with his mastery of Torah, showing us clearly that Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have regarded or considered the Torah have been forgotten in the Golos Bavel. So the Gemara says, Lo Kashya. We have to, again, resolve what is the basis of Avarova. Are you telling me it's Yesod Nevim, or are you telling me it's Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai? So the Gemara says, there is no problem. Lo Kashya. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Kan b'mikdosh, kan b'gvulin. As we mentioned in the introduction to today's shiur, there are two mitzvos arova. There's the mitzvah of arova in the Beis HaMikdosh. That is Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai. There's the mitzvah of arova that we practice outside the Beis HaMikdosh. That practice is based on, in Rabbi Yochanan's words, Yesod Nevi'im. Before we continue, we can look at the side. We have a topic heading, the Nose Arova Tzricha Shi'ur. The Arova requires a size. And a double underline will appear, and on the side under our Mivneh, we note, Machlekes Yoytze Mitzvahs Arova Im Ho Arova Shebelulav. Does one fulfill the mitzvah of Arova through the Arova that is bound together with the Hadassim and the Lulav? The Gemara. Amar Rabbi Ami, Arova Tzricha Shiur. There is a need for a specific size. We don't know what that is right now, but there is a size needed for the Arova in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Arova. And we're talking about the Arova, the independent mitzvah of Arova that we just finished discussing. The Arova taken separately from the Lulav, if you will. Number two, V'eino Niteles Elo B'fnei Atzma, it's taken by itself. And number three, V'eino Adam Yoytzi Yedecho Vaser B'Arova Shebelulav, and one does not fulfill the Arova mitzvah through the Arova in his Lulav. The Gemara asks, Kevon D'Omar Mar Eino Niteles Elo B'fnei Atzma, since you told us point two, that it is taken only by itself. In other words, nothing is bound together with it. And it is taken thusly so as to show that it is a separate mitzvah. So once you tell me, Ein on itel selo b'fansma, pshitot the Ein odom yotze barova shevalulav, it's obvious that you're not going to be yotze, you're not going to fulfill your obligation with the arova that is bound together with the lulav. So why is point three necessary once point two is mentioned? The Gemara answers, Mahu detema. I would have thought through mentioning point two that it's taken only by itself, Hanimili hecho delo agbe v'hodar agbe. That is the case only where you don't pick up the lulav twice. Avol agbe v'hodar agbe, aim alo. But if a person picked up his lulav twice, once for the purpose of mitzvahs lulav, and a second time for the purpose of mitzvahs arova, I would have thought that he doesn't need to have a separate arova, and that you could fulfill the mitzvah through the arova in the lulav. Komash malon, that's why point three is necessary, that under no circumstances are you yotze with the arova bound together with the lulav. Namely, even if you pick up the lulav twice, you're nevertheless not going to fulfill this mitzvah, the mitzvah of arava. Rav Chisdom, Rav Yitzchok, Odom, Yoyse, Yedei, Choyvoso, Barova, Shebulav. And as we indicated before, with our markings, here you have this opinion in contrast to Rav Ami, who says that a person can be Yotse, the mitzvah of Arava, through the Arava in the Lulav. It might stand to reason then that according to Rav Chisdom, Rav Yitzchok, by picking up the lulav twice, the first time you would be yotze the mitzvah of lulav, and the second time, that second picking up would be for the arava, even though it's attached to the lulav. Now, it was mentioned before, Rav Ami said, arava tzricha shiur, v'kama shiura. What is the shiur that is referred to when it was said before, arava tzricha shiur? Omar Rav Nachman, we're calling him number one because Rav Sheshes has his opinion later, next line. So Omar Rav Nachman, Gimel Bade Olim Lachim, three branches with fresh leaves on them. Rav Sheshes Omar, and the brackets is for initial skipping purposes, in order to get to to the accurate reading. In the brackets, the reading is not clear, and therefore the Gemara will fix it and come up with this as the result. Rav Sheshes says, Afilu Ola Echod Bevad Echod. The Mitzvah of Arava could be accomplished with a singular stem with one leaf on it. Rashi points out very importantly that the discussion that we saw back on the Daf Lamed Beis concerning the shiur of Arava as being three tefachim, and we don't see any mention of that dimension here, that is because on the Daf Lamed Beis, the discussion surrounded the Arava as part of the lulav. The mitzvah's lulav is taking four minim, four species together. The lulav, esrog, hadasim, and aravas. In that, regarding that mitzvah, so the arava that's part of the mitzvah of lulav needs to be three tefachim in size, in length. However, the arava that was used for mitzvah's arava, that was as part of the arava taken by itself, that can be any size. We continue in the Gemara, having skipped the bracketed section. Now let us reread the Gemara with the bracketed section. Rav Sheshes Omar Filu Ola Echod Ubad Echod. Rav Sheshes says that you can that the mitzvah, the shiur of Arava is even one leaf or one stem. The Gemara asks Ola Echod Ubad Echod Salka Daitoch. Could you possibly mean one either that this or that, meaning one leaf or one stem? One leaf, is that a possibility? Rashi says it's not nikur, it's lo minkura netilos. You don't. It's not clear that you're doing a mitzvah if all that you're taking is a singular leaf. It's not something that's noticeable. It's not nikur. Therefore, elo ema. Rather, what Rav Sheshes was saying wasn't suggesting the taking of a singular leaf. Rather, afilu ola echod bevad echod, a singular leaf that's attached to a stem. So, as far as Rav Sheshes is concerned, you fulfill the mitzvah of Arava with a singular stem, even if all it has on it is one leaf. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading with a structural note. You can see on the side we have a Nosei Mivne. We feature a diamond. The diamonds represent Gimel Maisim Im Ivo, three incidents involving Ivo. Ivo happened to be the father of the famous Amora Rav. For general information, Ivo happened to have a brother, very famous person, Rabbi Chia. And as is known, Rav was the nephew of Rabbi Chia. Let us continue in the Gemara. Omar Ivo. Ivo tells us, Ivo Kimna Kameid Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. I was standing in the presence of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, the Isiahu Gavro Arova Kamei, and some man brought an Arova to Rabbi Elazar. Shokil Chovit Chovit Velo Borich. He took the Arova, he shook it, and he did not, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok did not make a bracha beforehand. Kosovar, and the triangle emphasizes the, as we see on the side, Kosovar, the Shnei Maisim Shebohem Sovrim de Arova Minig Nevim Velochein Lo Borchu. He shook it without making a bracha, showing us Minig Nevim Huanet. We saw Rashi earlier that pointed out the difference between Minig Nevim versus Yesoid Nevim, that if something is Minig Nevim, so we do not make a bracha beforehand. The bracha that you generally make over mitzvahs would has the text Asher Kidshanu b'mitzvayso v'tzivanu, and we were commanded, but if it's Minig Nevim, it's simply a custom that was conducted by the prophets, being that it was a custom and not a formal legal institution or formal ruling or declaration, no bracha, because you wouldn't be able to include in the text of the bracha vitzivono, we were commanded. Another incident, Ivo v'chizkia b'nei barte derav. You might want to note that here Ivo is not the same individual we had featured above in the diamond. This is actually Rav's grandson. And you can see that Rav's grandson was named in honor of Rav's father. So the great grandson carried the same name as his great grandfather. Ivo and Chizkio b'nei barte de Rav. They were the sons of Rav's daughter. Aisu arova lekame de Rav. They brought an arova to Rav. Chavit chavit v'lo borach. He shook it and did not make a bracha beforehand. Kosovar minag neviyim hu. So Rav practiced the same as the story that his father had recorded with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. Omar Ivo. And here is another story that's seemingly unrelated other than the name. Ivo tells us, and he says, Hava ka'imna kamei de Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. Again, you see the it's not just Ivo, but you see this in the context of his being in the presence of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, another common point, if you will. In Gemara markings, we often like to emphasize structural points and show why certain things are included when on the surface, by way of the topic matter, the content, there doesn't seem to be any connection. But here there is. And we should also point out that this is we call this a Maisa, called a long Maisa. So he tells us that he was in the presence of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, also the Kameahu Gavra, a man came to them, Omarle, and this man says, Karaisa Isli, Karmaya Isli, Zesaya Isli. I have, Karaisa are villages and their inhabitants. In other words, I own villages which are inhabited. I have vineyards, Karmaya, Kerem, Karmaya, vineyards, Isli, I have. Zesaya Isli, olive groves, I also have. V'osu b'nei Karaisa, Karaisa, we just saw the line before, villages. The villagers come and they till the soil in the vineyard, and they take as their fee olives, and all of this is during the Shemitah year. What we see here is there's Mekashkishin is an agricultural activity, and we also see the villagers receiving as pay olives that were not declared hefker for the public. Shemitah is a year in which all agricultural activity and ownership of agricultural products are declared unowned. So there are two, we'll say, questionable things being presented here. And this man, who owns all of this property, he asks Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik, Orech or lo Orech, is that which I'm doing positive or not? Orech means proper. Is it proper or not? Omar Lei, Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik responds, lo Orech, it's not good. Havikoshovik Levi Ozel, the man went away. Omar, Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik, now he reacts to the visitor that has since departed. He says, Kadu Havisi Dairi Ba'ara Hoda Mem Shonin. Kadu, Kavar, it's already been. It's already been 40 years since I'm dwelling in this land. Velo Hamisi Bar Inish. Chamisi means see, and I didn't see a man, mahalich be'orchen desaknen kedain, that literally walked such a proper path as this man. In other words, I didn't see a man as righteous as this. What you see described here is a person that was obviously benefiting, his property was being benefited by all these workers, and you can imagine the man stood to gain a lot from what was happening, and yet he came and revealed what was actually happening and asked for a legal ruling, is all this acceptable or not? And when it comes to matters of money, even people that are otherwise seemingly pious are really put to the test. Are you really pious? And many people don't actually make the grade when it comes to money matters. And it seems that that's what impressed Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik. Here is a man that was concerned more with what's proper to do than simply making money and enriching himself. So that's what probably led to Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik's reaction. And you can see it's actually quite a fine level of piety to be on. Continuing in the Gemara, Hodar v'osi, the man came back. V'yomalei my mavid, what should I do now? You know, you told me that what was taking place wasn't proper. Well, I have to know what to do. Omalei, so Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik answered, Afkez Isaya l'chashuchaya, declare unowned your olive grove to the poor. V'sein pritaya l'keshkushe kromim, and pay pritaya prutos, money. Pay out of your own pocket money for those people that are tilling the vineyard. The Gemara asks, V'kishkushi mishori? Is tilling a vineyard during the Shemitah year something that is allowed? Everyone knows that the Shemitah year, and we mentioned this before, is a year in which one is to cease from agricultural activity. So how could, in this story we see that it seems to be okay, and not only that, but they should be paid out of pocket. But is it mutter to do this in the first place? V'hotanya, v'ashviyiz tishmeteno netashto. That's a quote from the Pasuk. There are two verbs here, tishmeteno netashto, tishmeteno milakashkesh. Tishmeteno has to do with desist from kishkush, which we just saw before, this tilling of the ground. Unitashto milasakeo, and stay away, remove yourself. Desist as well from stone removal, cleaning out a field from stones. So the question is, how can it be, let's say, suggested that kishkushi is mutter when here you have a source with Xeris HaKosov saying that kishkush, tilling, is forbidden during the Shemitah year? Omar Rav Ukva Bar Chamo Tre Kishkushi Havas. Rav Ukva tells us that there are two forms of kishkush, two activities that can be called kishkush. Chad stumi fili v'chad evruya ilni. Evruya ilni osur stumi fili shori. Stumi fili, literally, stumi has to be with, it's to do with sealing up, fili cracks. But Rashi explains more. Stumi fili, shashroshim megulim. You have plants, in this case vines, whose roots are exposed. V'tzorach lechasoisam sheleivash o'ilon. You have to cover the roots that are exposed in order to prevent the vine from drying out. V'ukumi ilni hu. This is a matter of ukumi ilni. It means to maintain maintenance, status quo. Shelo yamus, to prevent it from dying. V'ino oyselash bichan alikaimon. He's not doing this in order to improve the plant. He's doing it to maintain it so that it shouldn't die. That is allowed during Shemitah. What we avoid during Shemitah is land and plant improvements. The next kishkush that was mentioned was Ivruyi Ilni. What is Ivruyi Ilni? So Rashi has two pshatim, but what's common to the two pshatim is that it is designed for improving the trees, not just mere maintenance. And as a result, the process of Ivruya Ilni would be prohibited. Omar Ivo Mishum, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. Again, we feature the commonality between all of these incidents. Again, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok is being quoted by Ivo. This again has totally unrelated to what we saw before. This has to do with a person who's traveling on a Friday as Shabbos approaches. It says, Al yahalich odem ba'arvei Shabbosis yoyser migimul parsois. A person should not travel on Friday more than three parsa. One parsa is 4 meal. A meal is approximately 8 kilometers. So it's 3 times 4 would be 12 kilometers. Let's look at Rashi. Al lo yahalech elo yishbois loy boidyim gadol v'yochin lo yisuda Shabbos. A person shouldn't travel more than 3 parsas so as to allow him enough time to stop his journey and dedicate enough time, there should be enough time left in the day to prepare his Shabbos meals. We continue in the Gemara. There are two versions of what Rav Kahana is going to say. Hence, you can see they're marked as Roman numerals 1 and 2. And toward the end of the next line, a squiggle underline, Iko Diamri. Squiggle underlining often is used in Gemara markings to distinguish between two versions of whatever. And here, two versions of Rav Kahana's comment. Omar Rav Kahana, lo amoron elo lebeise. The restriction of not traveling more than 3 parsa is only with regard to someone who is walking to his house, to his home. Avalu shpizei, but if his journey is toward an inn, amai denokit somich, he will rely on the food that he already has with him. Rashi is absolutely necessary in order to appreciate this. Rav Kahana in this version is saying that the restriction of 3 parsa, a 3 parsa journey is only if his destination is his home. Ela lebeise, shaholech lebeiso. He's going toward his house. The house members don't know that he is coming home. They're not going to be preparing for him. And if he walks in without enough time left in the day, he'll get angry at them. So, in order to appreciate this teaching, if you are traveling and you will reach your house with enough time in the day for them to prepare, then fine. Otherwise, don't get home at what we call at the last minute, but rather stop your journey, leaving enough time for you to prepare on your own. And don't go home at the last minute and then create an environment where there will be anger. We continue in the Gemara. V'ikar d'amri, Omar Rav Kahana. The second version is lo nitzruch ela filu lebeise. The halacha of traveling no more than 3 parsa includes the case even if you're going home. Rashi. Afilu lebeso, dema shemoitze im meatim rav shelohu. Person who's going home whatever he finds, whether they have a lot of food or a little amount of food, it's his anyway. Even so, if you don't have enough time left in the day to prepare, he shouldn't go, even to his own house. Certainly if he's going to an inn and he ends up there at the last minute, he's not going to find anything there. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Kahana, b'didi havi uvda, an incident concerning me took place. V'afilu kosa da harsina lo ashkechi. I got there, I got to the inn, and I didn't find even a small amount of food. Kosa da harsina is a kind of a small meal made of small fish fried in oil and their fats. So he's saying that it happened to me that I went to my destination, and it was before Shabbos, and I ended up there and I found nothing. I found not even a small meal. Mitzvahs lulav ketzad. The Mishnah had described the bringing of the lulavim to the Beis HaMikdash before Shabbos. Toni Tano Kamei de Rav Nachman. The Tano means a person who knew Tanaic sources stated in the presence of Rav Nachman the following Tanaic source. Soidrin al Gag Ho'itztabo. Now, in our Mishnah, we saw the expression of them setting the lulavim al Gag Ho'itztabo. Here, in this version, it says al-gag. Gag is a roof. The itztaba was a series of benches that lined the inside wall of the Har HaBayis. And over those benches, there was a type of canopy to create shade. And this reading tells us that they would bring the lulavim on Friday and place the lulav on the roof, covering the itztaba, the series of benches. Omar Lei, Rav Nachman, upon hearing this presentation, says, and we're at the top of Daf Mem Hei, Bechili Yabshon Hu Tzorech, is the goal of the Mishnah to see the lulavim dried out? If you put them on top of the roof, that's what's going to happen to them. Eloema, but rather say, Al Gav Hu Itztaba. The more accurate reading is alongside the itztaba, they would lean the lulavim on the sides of the benches on Friday, and as such they were protected. And this is really the text that you see in the Mishnah opening the Perek on Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis, where it said they would bring their lulavs to Har HaBayis and they would sojourn al gabi itztaba. Al gabi, with this refined reading, al gav means on the sides of the benches, as opposed to on the roof, on the canopy covering the benches. Omar Rachba, Omar Rebbe Yehuda, Har HaBayis stav kofel hoya, stav lifnim mistav. The Temple Mount was surrounded by a double stov. The stov is the same as itztabois. So it was like a double, it seems from here there was a double row of benches surrounding the Har HaBayis within the wall that surrounds the Har HaBayis. We have this double bench setup. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you're interested in being in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.